room, we called it, and it had a tub in it, and that's where they put the snakes. And after, snakes were gone, no one knew that the person who had cleaned out the tub had put whatever litter was down, and the tub got stopped up. And one day, when I was coming in to work, the tub was overflowing into the hall, and it was almost lapping into the control room. So we were able to do a play-by-play of the flood at WBAI.
The Johnstown flood. Where were the what happened to the snakes?
They were bought by someone named Joselle, or maybe it was she was a snake charmer who used to come to all of our benefits and dance with the snakes.
And isn't it true that that same bathtub later ended up being the origins of the Pacifica archives?
That's right. That bathtub later on was used to hold all of the tapes that we thought were important enough to hang on to. You know, there were like a pile, one where the soap dish was. We had all of the Ayn Rand tapes. Another one, they were all the Malcolm X tapes. Mm-hmm. And another one, it was like, you know, it was just stacked up neatly. And every once in a while, someone would come in and take a bath and take all the tapes out of the tub and then put them back.
But again, you know,
so how are you going to get us to wear blazers or have a dress code or some of the other absurd
things?
They
actually, I saw an early work rules proposal that had urine testing for drug testing. For employees. Can you believe it? I actually saw a proposal for that.
I won't say the percentage, but a lot of people here wouldn't be on the air.
Considering Paul Wonder used to tell me when in the early 70s when he did the drug show on BAI, he would get in the mail packages of laboratory grade in the lab ampules sealed, the way they seal them at the end, you know, melted shut, and you have to break it open to get into it. Lab ampules of the purest, highest quality, exotic, hallucinogenic drugs that science could develop, direct from the laboratories, like not just somebody's bathtub laboratory, but direct from like Sandoz and stuff like that, sent to him like sample packs.
Well, those days are gone.
Well, unfortunately, I had this little vision of all of the people, all of the staff, fighting at WBAI, and they all are wearing a T-shirt with the old Pacifica logo, which was a dove with another eye of a dove, dovetailing the dove. Mm-hmm. And I picture all of these people with dove T-shirts all fighting with each other.
Right. Well, that's happened, and, you know, it has not been very dove-like recently. And I can tell you that, as we were saying earlier, there's been lots of violent conflicts, and all I can say is that we're going to lose this if we don't figure out a way to deal with it. And it's not about just not talking about it on the air. I mean, we have to deal with it. It has to be dealt with. This can't go on like this, because it'll just be like somebody has a 6-ton elephant in the room and nobody mentions it, and it smells like a 6-ton elephant and everybody's moving around, but everybody's like totally ignoring this elephant like it's not even there. And that will come over the air to the listeners.
Well, a compromise solution has
what
to
elephant?
Be
elephant.
Or it can be a radio station about an elephant.
Get that elephant out of here. Wait a second, it's knocking over my computer. Wait.
I have to get an exercise keyboard for the elephant to punch in its data.
Right.
Mm. I'll get in the front door.
Randy, do you have the benefit that the 1977 staff put on?
No, I don't.
The union benefit at the Village Gate?
No, unfortunately.
Gee, that would be great if someone could assemble that. It was phenomenal. I mean, it was great. Lots of union songs.
Was that the music store?
No, the music. We couldn't get into the music store. The music store is now an apartment house. It was at the Dlugoff's Gate, which is also an apartment house.
Bob, I guess you would know this best in terms of moving, because when we moved from 505, a lot of tapes that were part of that music store archives were just left.
People used to use them for extra raw tape, you know. They would bulk them and use them because they couldn't get their hands on tape.
Right. Yeah.
The whole archive
I tell you, one time a friend of mine was going through the dumpster behind the New Eurekan Cafe when they were renovating it years ago. And they went through and they found in our Pacifica boxes tapes, hours and hours of tapes of all like the greatest musicians of Puerto Rico who had played there for years over the years. And somebody, BAI, had taped them all throughout the 60s and 70s. And the tapes had been there and they had just thrown them in a dumpster. And my friend went there and he dug it all out, including Andre Jimenez tapes. Wow. He had like 10 hours of Andre Jimenez, like the great folk musician, guitar player of Puerto Rico, just thrown in the garbage. And he got them all out and he's got them now.
And they dumped our sound effects door, too. If anybody has found that in a dumpster, will you please bring it back? 120 Wall Street.
Right.
It's like having a mother that always wants to clean your room and throw away your stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of interesting stuff here. Well, you know, we haven't taken any calls, and part of it was the early problems with the phones, which we sort of fixed now. But part of it also was I was just happy with having a space for the producers to talk, you know, because I think for a lot of us, it's like really, we really live this even more than the listeners. You know, we're like really in the midst of it and have been for years. You know, and there's a lot that people have to say, and there's a lot of reasons people have the opinions they have.
Well, you know, yeah, we are affected, but you know, I think some of the listeners are really losing it because they're getting stuff on BAI right now that they're not accustomed to. And I'm not talking about everything that is said. I'm talking about a lot that isn't said.
Well, we're trying to say it here as much as we can. Maybe I could try and give this person a try here. Let's just try one person. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Yeah, listen, I just have a couple of comments. I really think Ms. Lead has no sense of dignity. Firing somebody that's been there 22 years who has children on Christmas Eve. Come on, you know, how low
she
can
did
you
not
get?
Fire the person. Let us point that out. She did not fire the person.
Right. And also, most contracts...
her power to rehire.
Right. That's different. Right.
And also, another thing to recognize is that most contracts run out at the end of the year. And management jobs, a lot of people are fired on December 31st.
Yeah, but as your coworker, wouldn't you...
Yes,
didn't
but they know about it in advance.
Right, that's the difference.
Know, it doesn't happen in the middle of the night with a letter delivered to your door of somebody waking you up in the morning and saying you can't have your paycheck unless you sign.
Well, you know, listen.
What is he on the welfare line? Maybe somebody can send a letter to mislead.
A week before the lockout and the coup happened here, we had a meeting in which I got up in the meeting and said exactly that, what would happen, and people just laughed at me and went on and discussed something they were going to do 2 weeks later. So, I mean, it wasn't like people didn't have a warning or an idea that this might happen, and it wasn't like nobody like moved in and started camping out in here like they should have been doing a week before it happened. I don't understand why there wasn't any positive action by people who knew this was coming down.
I would like to say that
the
listeners
solidarity group,
there was a lot of disorganization.
The listeners group has been collecting money, and they've taken it on themselves.
Does have children.
To give money to the fired and the band.
But we got to remember Sharan Harper as well.
Right. She's on their list.
Right.
Right. And the three people that were banned.
Serene. Those people have to come. Serene. The bannings have to end. Mm-hmm. People have to be allowed back on this back here. As far as management jobs, I just don't understand how, you know. People are in a management job for 10 years. How many people have you heard in a management job for 10 years? Hmm. It's unheard of.
In this economy? Yes, unheard of.
It's totally unheard of. She had a good run. She really did. She had 10 years to leave a mark.
Unfortunately, I think that was part of the clouding of the issues.
Yeah.
You know, and that, like I said, that, you know, that was something that has been here. Hopefully, one of the main things that we'll learn is to take care of our in-house business ourselves and early enough so that we don't have to call somebody in.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, However, that's a nice, slick way of not getting people to organize. I hear two things.
We were calling on people to organize on this show for two years, right? I wasn't allowed on any other show.
Yes,
I hate to tell you, but your hero, Bernard White, told me time and time again the listeners weren't interested. They didn't want to hear it.
He told me that time and time again. In all honesty, he wasn't my favorite reporter. I mean, you know, he just kind of washed your bits and boards.
Well, you know,
it was not that pleasant to hear, but it was the way he was fired.
Right.
And
I understand that.
I want to say something about this.
But do you understand what I just said, though, about
something.
How I brought I this up over and Bernard. Over again to people that we should cover this, and over and over again I had it shoved back in my face?
I want to say something about Bernard. Please let me say something about
Bernard. Say it.
Okay. Yeah. Bernard had a way of making you feel like he was talking to you.
And that's good radio.
And when you wake up in the morning to have someone like Bernard saying, what was the name of his song? It's
Sweet in the Morning.
Sweet in the Morning.
Sweet in the Morning was worth so much to so many people who had to tear themselves out of a comfortable bed and face the daunting day. Mm-hmm. Bernard, helped people to get ready for that.
Absolutely.
And then with Amy talking about the day and the news as it was breaking around, kind of like the kitchen table, it was family. It was beautiful.
It was a great thing.
I used to force myself to stay up mm-hmm. and listen to it before I went to bed right. because it was my radio unnameable. Mm-hmm. I would listen to that program before it was my late night program. You know.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
I just wanted to say, but that's the stuff that we hear over the air. I need to just say, in talking about Bernard, that's who brought me to the station and allowed me to do mm-hmm. all the work that I've been able to do. That's why it hurts, and we were able to be on different sides of thought in terms of what we need to do. And not everybody, but he understood that it was just a principled stand that I was taking on in another position. So what I'm saying is that a lot of times we don't see, you know, we hear a lot of the stuff that goes on the air, but we don't see a lot of the workings that are happening behind the mm-hmm. scenes. And I look, my analogy for removing Bernard from the station is the same feeling I got when they moved the vendors off 125th Street.
Oh, yeah,
you're taking the soul out of the area. You're taking the soul out of this station.
Absolutely.
In all fairness, I was at meetings leading up before the firings where Bernard gave speeches in which he said that he was willing to violate any agreements he had with Pacifica and break any laws that are necessary to not leave and to prevent Pacifica from removing Valerie Van Isler. What do you expect them to do?
Can we also mention here, let's also make this quite clear, that even though you may be in love with Bernard as the host of the morning show, he had taken the position of program director.
Sure.
It was supposed to be a limited run. He was not supposed to continue. And in fact, there's some, you know, isn't that 77? There is some, I don't know, probably a bylaw that says you cannot do both.
And
you cannot be both labor and management.
There's something that needs to be cleared up there. First of all, you can't do that and get a salary for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because remember, Samori still did
both.
Behind the news as well. But you just can't do it and get paid for both positions. Mm-hmm.
He was not paid for behind the news.
No, he wasn't.
And he farmed out several behind the newses, so he didn't do all five of them.
Right.
That three or two. Yeah.
He was kind of the producer.
And actually, a lot of us that was concerned about Bernard's health was telling him to stop doing a wake-up call because of health issues. But he wanted to make sure that whoever stepped into that position was able to continue the symmetry, so to speak.
I just had two quick statements. Number one, I don't understand you, Trece Lee, when she talks, and friends and family tell me the same thing. It's like she's, you know, concentrating on her elocution so much and being profound that she's just sounds like Professor Irwin Corey. And the second thing is that I remember reminiscing.
But you see, this is the type of thing we
this
want.
This is really
I know Professor Irwin Corey. And she is no
this is the kind of thing.
She sounds exactly like Irwin Corey.
She does sound nothing like Irwin Corey. Irwin Corey speaks gibberish. Don't be ridiculous.
No. Okay, listen. In the 70s, since you're reminiscing us old folks, I remember Steve Post played God Bless America Until People Pledge. Now, may I suggest you play Fidel's speech over and over again until people get together?
4 hours?
The 4 hours?
Maybe that's what did it. Too many people went to see Fidel and heard
too
much.
Well, I know. It's a double pourfoir there. It's went a little, crazy. You know, little twist there. But I think, what would Miss Lee do if you played Fidel's speech? I mean, would she play at the ceiling and then play... perhaps
see, I think. Why do you think that? Why do you think that?
I think. Like,
why do you think that?
Why? Because I think Amy Goodman was right. The station had a lot of clout and grassroots movements, and it was, you know.
Evidence. You have
evidence,
no
evidence. I think.
Yes. Where is the evidence?
Cuba, I think you. For us,
I think that what it sounds like is a lot of listeners have a lot of feelings of like their ideas are so under attack and their viewpoints when they're left wingers are totally under attack in our society and you have get no respect and our people's self vision of themselves is very what's that self respect or whatever has been undermined. And so there's a tremendous fear and feeling that you can't defend your beliefs. And I don't think that's true. I think that they're not going to make changes that the people who are listeners to this station get organized and stop them. And it's not even a matter of stopping them. Nobody's ever said that that Fidel Castro isn't going to be allowed on our air. But, I mean, it's crazy to say that.
But part of the problem is I've been hearing a lot of catchwords like we need to be more professional. Yeah. A professional on air, and I have
have to be more art.
I have a problem with that catchword because if we're talking about being articulate is part of being professional, then I won't be on the air any longer.
Yeah.
I have a problem.
Well, professional is a weird word because what professional really means is like I want you to be.
So that's why in reality
the word means to profess is to tell to state the truth usually or your expertise. Right. So if you are professing in a certain way, you're doing the same thing that you do when you protest. Protest does not mean to protest against, although that's what it means to us. To protest one's faith is to state it.
What if it means showing up for your show on time or getting out of the studio on time? Does that count as professional, doing your station breaks?
Not at BAI, no.
Not at 3:45 in the morning.
Guys, those are some things that... I think that we could do without the help of Pacifica telling us how to do that.
Well, considering they blow it, let's give the devil its due. I mean, the act of Pacifica coming in and having to change the locks to make a change in management. Mm-hmm. When have you ever worked for a company that had to do that? I actually did once. They were totally disorganized, much more disorganized even than this place. It's unbelievable, no. But it's unbelievable that they would allow a management of that owns a license and owns the property and owns the facilities would not be able to smoothly make a management change without causing all this chaos. How is that human? How do they get to that point? They must be the worst managers on the face of the earth.
Well, I don't want to say that only because they have gutted four stations. So let's say three stations.
Well, were the other two stations that, I mean, the WPFW, I mean, was it ever anything to gut?
Yeah. I said that on the
What's
air.
What's that, Washington?
Washington station. Yeah.
And one of the producers happened to be in New York, and they mentioned to me that, no, they had attacked them in 93.
Pacifica really is a threat, you know.
Yeah,
but they're also a bunch of bozos. I mean, their management style is terrible. They've managed to screw up everything they've tried to do and saddle themselves with four lawsuits wasted a lot of time. So I don't really, in a weird way, the threat seems more like a bunch of bozos coming in with some half-baked schemes that they've had out from some overpaid consultant people that every time they try and put it into practice, what they get is some disaster exploding in their face.
Speaking of exploding in your face, you know who's just entered?
The next show, Night Shift. But go ahead, what were you going
to
say?
I don't want us to get complacent about Pacifica being a bunch of bozos. I think they have some of the best working for them. That's why we just have cowboy music at our Texas station. That's why L.A. is gutted. That's why Washington.
They hired big money. They paid big money to people to come in.
So they have some of the best. So we
in other words, they hire. If they don't have it, they hire people who do.
Something that at a meeting we had last night that we said, and I just want to say that now, stay strong and pay close attention.
Hopefully everybody will be back. We got to fight. A compromise has to be made. The doors have to be opened. Right. They might want to keep some mild security here only because the workers actually have often asked for it, believe it or not.
Mike, we need to stay on the air for another 2 hours. I know it's okay.
But we really hope that we can come to a solution
here.
Whitefish
Unlimited.
Yeah. All right, here we go. All right, see you next week.
Greetings from the Atlantica Radio Empire with a